love, everybody. Ringo here. Beautiful day in LA. Talk. So, it was good to be able to kind of get it out in a song.
The whole, you know, origin of where we're all coming from.
I'm prepared for death because I don't believe in it. I think it's just getting out of one car and getting into another.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast where we talk about all things related to the solo careers. And of course, yes, we do talk about the Beatles periodically. And this is going to be a special show tonight. This is our year-end show. I can't believe this is our final episode of 2018. So we are going to do kind of a retrospective tonight. We're going to talk about some of our favorite releases of the year, some of our favorite moments of the year, and a wish list for 2019. So we've got a lot to cover, and we want all of you to take part in it. So before we get started, let me introduce myself and the friends that I'm so lucky to be doing this show with. My name is Kit O'Toole. I'm the author of Songs We Were Singing, Guided Tours Through the Beatles' Lesser Known Tracks, Michael Jackson FAQ, All That's Left to Know About the King of Pop. You may also know me from my Deep Beatles column at Something Else Reviews, which is coming back soon, but I'll get to that later, as well as my Deep Soul column for Blind by Sound. I'm also a contributing editor for Beatle Fan Magazine. So let me introduce my colleagues here. First up, you know him from his many years of broadcasting. He has a syndicated show called Every Little Thing. He also co-hosts the very popular podcast Things We Said Today with our friends Alan Kozin and Darren DeVivo. So let me introduce your friend and mine, Ken Michaels. Okay, here we go. Ken. There's Ken. Hello, Ken. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Kit. Glad to be back. Hi to
all
of
you. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. This is, I can't believe this is our final show of the year. It's gone by so fast.
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
We've had a lot to keep us busy, though.
Yes, we have. And we're gonna talk about some of that stuff tonight. So next up, we have the co-host of the another popular podcast, Two Legs, that he co-hosts along with his cousin, David Gargolino. And it's about all things Paul McCartney. And he is coming to us live from Las Vegas, where he is working there right now. He's a caterer for works many different concerts and shows. So he is coming to us live from Vegas, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Hunyadi, hello, Tom.
Hello, kids. Hello, Ken, and season's greetings from Las Vegas.
You're saying you're coming at us live from Vegas. Absolutely from the background.
I wish I had more lights than and pictures to show you, but I'm on the north end, so there's not really that much to see, unfortunately. But hello, anyways.
All right, excellent. All right, last but not least, and he is coming to us from a classroom where he is actually finishing giving a final exam. So we're coming at you from all different places tonight. He has written so many books, it would take up half the show to mention them all, but among others, he's written a 2-volume biography of George Martin. The second volume, Sound Pictures, just came out this year. Definitely one of the highlights, what I'm sure we'll be mentioning. He is also the dean of the Wayne D. McMurray School of Humanities and Social Sciences at Monmouth University. And he has been on many, many, many shows. You all know him. So here he is live from Monmouth University. And as I said, giving an exam, as you can tell. Here is Ken Womack. Hello, Ken.
Greetings.
See, we're coming at you from everywhere tonight, so it's going to be a great show. So, all right, well, as I mentioned, this is going to be a year-end retrospective. We're going to talk about some of our favorite releases of the year, some things that also moments that we thought were particularly outstanding, and a wish list for 2019. So it's going to be a packed show. So before we get to all that, why don't we get to the news? And by the way, when we get to all the stuff about our favorite thing, favorite moments and so forth of the year, we want all of you. And I see a number of people are already checking in and saying hello. And so we want you to take part as well and share your thoughts. So, but before we get to that, we've got some news we need to share with you. So we will turn to our news, our number one source for news here, Ken Michael. So, Ken, what have you got for us?
Thank you, Kit. Well, the last few days in particular, a lot has been happening. I'm sure you guys know that Paul just did his last concert of the year at the O2 Arena in London. And a big surprise happened towards the end of the show, and that is that Ringo joined him on stage, and they performed Get Back. And this is with Paul and his band, and Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones also joined them on guitar. And it was just great to see them jamming together. And Ringo's drum kit was on the main stage. Abe Laborio was still drumming behind him, but higher up. But it was the full band plus Ringo. It was great to see the two of them together. The crowd went wild. You know, you guys got to see the performance? Tom, I know you did.
Yeah. Our friend, you know, Roger Stromo was live streaming it. He was there, and it was, you know, say what you want about the voice, say what you want about, you know, I was also hearing that Ringo's drums weren't mic'd up or whatever, but what a great moment. What a great positive, you know, thing to see them two on stage together. Every time we get to see those two on stage together, it's a beautiful moment. You know, I thought it was great.
There's so much electricity when that happens.
Oh, absolutely.
Just visually seeing them together on stage. And I'm actually just bouncing back and forth watching Ron Wood play lead guitar with Paul next to him. Nice to see. Kit, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, I just wish I would have been there. I mean, I know people, a couple of people have shared on Facebook how they were there and said that the place went crazy when Ringo and Ron Wood showed up. I mean, surprise, surprise. And, you know, that it was just that the place just absolutely exploded when they came on. I wish I could have been there. I've only heard bits and pieces of it. I'm going to sit and listen to it and watch it tonight or tomorrow because I've seen some wonderful shots, though. From the stage. I mean, what an exciting moment. You know, as you said, anytime Ringo and Paul appear together, it's really a just so special, and they still have that chemistry. You know, it's never left.
It's a fortunate thing that with our technology today, anyone that's there in the audience can post a video immediately online, or you can see it later and see lots of photos. It's so immediate. And a lot of great photos I've seen online on Facebook, and what a joy. Ken, how about you?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. In fact, if I have a wish for this year, this coming year, it's to see that maybe a few more times, more often. I thought it just made me unquestionably happy to see it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no doubt about it. And I do know that in the audience, Roger Daltrey was there. And for all of this talk about two Beatles and a Rolling Stone on stage, can you imagine if Roger went on stage, you'd have a member of The Who, too, at the same time. So,
wow.
Chris Martin was there. Emma Thompson attended the show as well. And, just a great night. And Paul, at this show, and he also did a show at the Echo Arena in Liverpool, performed Wonderful Christmas Time at both those shows.
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, that was really nice. And unfortunately, around the time when Paul was doing that show in Liverpool, his home was burglarized in London. We don't know all the details around it, but police say there were signs of forced entry, and a spokesman for Paul wouldn't say whether Paul or his wife Nancy was in the area at the time. They're still looking into it. Inquiries are being made right now about the burglary.
Wow.
Any comments?
Jeez.
Not much to say, but it's a shock. No.
It's quite incredible, actually. I've been by there, a couple of times strolling through the neighborhood, and it looks like he had pretty good security to me.
That's what I can't believe. I mean, he must have top security.
Yeah. It's not a great feeling. When I lived in Chicago, I had my place broken into and had a few things stolen. So it's not a great feeling, and I'm sure he probably isn't very happy about it.
No, of course not.
To say the least.
Yeah.
At least he wasn't hurt.
That's true. That's the main thing. Yeah. Another big item, as I'm sure you guys know, on Saturday Night Live, this past Saturday, Miley Cyrus performed Happy Christmas, War Is Over with Sean Lennon in the band. And Mark Ronson was also on stage with them. And forgive me for, I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but it's Lawrence and Hope Juber's daughter was in the band too. Ilse, I think her name is.
Correct.
And she was there on stage. So, I saw the performance. I know that Miley has a strong voice. It maybe was a little too overpowering for the song, but my main disappointment was that Sean, I guess maybe his mic wasn't turned on or whatever. You could barely hear Sean sing. I would have loved it if Sean could have just sang a verse, do a lead vocal somewhere in the song, especially since he is John and Yoko's son. But evidently that's not what they planned. And they did make a new recording of Happy Christmas, War Is Over. And I know that that's out now. You can buy it digitally. And they plan on making a video together. I'm not sure if it's done yet or not.
Interesting. Well, I mean, a lot of people online were saying, oh, Miley's horrible. And what was she doing there? And, I'm not saying I'm her biggest fan. But, she has a great voice. I will say that. She's got a good voice. But, and our pal Beetlehead just is pointing this out right now. Let me see. Here we go. Yeah, what a terrible mix.
Right.
Well said. That was the problem. She was way too hot in the mix. And you couldn't hear Sean.
Have a good one, buddy.
It was really disappointing.
Right. Yeah, it was a little disappointing. I got to see it last night. I know they tried to keep it a little bit, Sean hidden, before the spotlight came on him. But I was a little disappointed. I mean, is Sean, can he be considered a household name? Because I didn't hear anybody clap for him once the spotlight came on for him. And I think even Miley said, Sean Lennon, and yeah. I don't think I heard anybody, applaud for him, which was kind of disappointing as well. And plus, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this was the first time a Beatle kid was on Saturday Night Live as well.
Not sure. Was Julian ever on? I can't think of.
I don't know. I don't remember him ever being on Saturday Night Live. You might be right. You might be right about that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
And it would have been funny if he did a skit with him cornering Lorne Michaels looking for that $3,000. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, you're asking for a bit too much there, Tom. But
that does qualify as a missed opportunity.
Yes. For sure.
That could be the best episode ever of Saturday Night Live. Really, everything about it, especially the Paul Simon sketch with him
coming
in the turkey outfit.
Oh, that was wonderful. Yeah.
Ken, did you have a chance to see the performance?
I did, and I did not love Miley Cyrus. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was a pretty poor performance of actually all the material. It's such a beautiful song with its own kind of dignity and elegance at this point. It just didn't seem right. I don't want to sound prudish or anything. Just a second. Did any of you guys see Miley Cyrus perform Happy Christmas, War Is Over? No, my students are O for that show. But well, this is a Beatles class, so maybe they would have watched it. But yeah, I found it to be pretty lacking.
Yeah. Well, you know, for a song that we all cherish so much, not only a great song, but a great recording, it's hard to top the original. And but at the same time, I love hearing cover versions of Happy Christmas or Wonderful Christmas Time. So I welcome all the new versions that come out. You don't have to like all of them. But the mere fact that I thought it added a special touch to have Sean there, I just wish that we could have heard him. That's all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And she just, you know, and unfortunately, I'm at the risk of sounding too, you know, old fingers, you know, but definitely oversang it. I mean, you know, and that's unfortunate with, you know, some singers, they just have to show you their range in every note, every lyric.
Right.
And yeah, and that was another example of that where you just want to say, you know, tone it down.
Not only that, I mean, I've seen Sean perform many times on stage and I think he's a wonderful musician and I love his singing voice. You know, mm-hmm. He could have added so much more to the song had we heard him.
Yeah.
So anyway, a few other news items here. A copy of the contract that officially dissolved the Beatles is up for an online auction at Sotheby's. It actually ended today. All four Beatles signed the contract in 1974, which broke the last legal ties holding the band together. It's expected to fetch around $50,000, but we'll probably hear something by tomorrow, I would think. There was a special concert held at the Grammy Museum in Los Angeles for the White Album. It was a tribute to the White Album. And a lot of great performers took part in this tribute, including Wings members Lawrence Juber and Denny Sidewell, Albert Lee, Billy J. Kramer, Joey Molland. This is like the Fest for Beatle fans light up here. Jeremy Clyde, Phil Solom of the Rembrandts, Elliot Easton of the Cars, Ron Dante. All right, Ron, from the Archies. Dennis Stefano of the Buckinghams, and Dishwalla. So I wish that I had seen online a performance of it, but nice to know that tribute show for the White Album was done. All right. Few other things here. There'll be a 50th anniversary edition of the Rolling Stones concert show, Rock and Roll Circus, being reissued in expanded form next spring. We all know John and Yoko was on it. In addition to the Stones, The Who were on, Jethro Tull, Eric Clapton, Taj Mahal. And there's a brand new video, which should have premiered today on Apple Music for Who Cares, McCartney's new single. And Paul is in it with Emma Stone. And I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be popping up on YouTube pretty soon anyway. Criterion will be reissuing the film I Want to Hold Your Hand. That's coming out in March with bonus features. And I just want to close with this one news item here. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Joe Osborne. So yes. Tremendous, tremendous L.A. session musician, part of the Wrecking Crew. He was on so many big hit records from the 60s on up, and chances are you've heard many of his bass lines, and you may not even know it's him. And he just passed away. He did a lot of work with people like Hal Blaine, Larry Knechtel of the Wrecking Crew. They were all together on the Bridge Over Troubled Water album from Simon and Garfunkel. But the one Beatle connection that I know of is that when George Harrison was working on Jackie Lomax's album, Is This What You Want? He had to fly to L.A. and record many of the songs with the Wrecking Crew. So Joe Osborne was there on those sessions, and George produced them. So I was just, you know, looking at a list. It's absolutely amazing all the work that this guy did. You'll find that about all these people. Hal Blaine, Glenn Campbell was on so many, you know, great recordings that you may not know it's Glenn Campbell. But just for an example, Aquarius Let the Sunshine In, Fifth Dimension. He did the bass work on that. Yeah. Tremendous bass line in that song.
Wow.
You know, a lot of great work. He's on, you know, Partridge Family Records even. He's on almost all the Carpenters records, I think.
Wow.
So, yeah, great player, Joe Osborne, and we'll miss him. So, Kit, back to you.
Okay, well, that was a lot of news, but you know, that's been typical of this year, hasn't it? I mean, it's I've said last week that I think we should all thank you know, the John Lennon estate, Paul McCartney, Apple. I mean, they gave us so much material that from the day we started this show, we've had no problem coming up with with topics. But it's just been one thing after the other. So with keeping that in mind, let's just go around and share, you know, what was one of your favorite releases of this year? And again, those of you who are watching, please share, you know, some of your favorites as well. So so Ken Womack, let's start with you. What was an outstanding release for you this year, one of your favorites?
Well, I mean, it's the White Album. I thought the whole set was dynamite, particularly the maybe the music more than the book by a good stretch. But, you know, those outtakes, being able to hear the sounds stretched in, you know, a wider array of real estate was just beautiful to me. If we're talking about solo releases, it would have to be the one we just received. I really love the joy of those early Wings albums. And I know for many people in particular, Wildlife may not be a great experience, but the nostalgia of it just is just pure joy to me. And Revolver too. I'm sorry, Red Rose Speedway too. I'm in a Beatles class. It was, I hope I didn't give away an answer.
Yeah.
I meant Rubber Soul. But I love that. The whole experience of revisiting those tracks and the bonus material. What great joy.
And you know, and I haven't listened to them yet, but they're, you know, just the way that that Red Rose Speedway and Wildlife are packaged, I mean, it's just, I mean, they pulled out all the stops. I'm just astounded. I mean, the books that come with it, the rare photos, the replicas of Paul's handwritten lyrics. I mean, wow.
He does that a lot, the handwritten lyrics. That's one of the joys for me. Mm-hmm. I'm a real sucker for handwritten lyrics, and he's done that on a lot of his deluxe box sets.
Yeah, and I just, I mean, you know, it's not absolutely necessary, but it's a nice bonus, you know, to have. And someone else is just pointing out, Mike is talking about the he loved the Bruce McMouse show. We were just talking about that. And I can't wait to see that myself. And so here we go. Tom's rejoining us. Hello, Tom. Technology, since we're all record, you know, in different places, there may be some of that tonight. So, you know, we'll just be popping in and out. So anyway, but yeah, so, one of your favorite releases of the year?
It's really tough for me to pick one, because when you take a look at everything that's come out from September on, Egypt Station, all the Imagine releases, the White Album, and now...
You guys are missing a wonderful student right now who's leaving. This guy can nail the key of anything. What is Long Winding Road's key?
C minor.
It's C minor.
Nice!
Okay. I appreciate it.
You have a great holiday. Yeah, you are wonderful. Sorry about that, Ken.
That's all right.
Go right ahead, Ken.
Why don't we make him a guest on our show?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, Mark, you want to be a guest on the show? he's gone. His ride. He says yes.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay,
we'll see you next semester. Let's do it.
Okay.
So where was I? All the releases that came out from September on have been tremendous to me. The White Album release was amazing, and the
great holidays.
Thank you. You too. Enjoy.
Awesome. Thank you.
I have to admit, with Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway, so far I've only had a chance to get to.
And then there was one.
I haven't watched the video yet, but I'm really impressed with so much that I've been hearing, and we're going to be doing shows on Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway as our newest show is probably in January. But I would have to say, between all these releases, Egypt Station. I mean, I have to say that one thing about me that I'm still very proud of is that since the moment I've been a Beatle fan in 1964, anytime there's a new release of new music, I'm still like a kid again. I'm still so excited about hearing anything new. But if that release also happens to be something really strong, which I believe Egypt Station was, then that's extra special. And we had to wait 5 years between this and Paul's last album, New. Right. And I love just about every song on Egypt Station, all but one. So that's pretty good right there. And I love so much about it. When you have a brand new release, I look forward so much to that. Just like we heard that Ringo is now in the process of recording a brand new album, I'm looking forward to that. So the archive box releases have been tremendous. I can't say one bad thing about any of them, really, although we will be talking with Ken about, you know, how we feel about them all coming out all at once. But if I had to pick the biggest highlight of the year musically, I'd still, believe it or not, pick Egypt Station.
Interesting. Yep. Well, and we'll probably get to it in just a minute when we get into our favorite moments. But I, you know, thought that the way he promoted that album this year was really impressive. I mean, you know, it helped him score his first number one, number one debut album. Now, you know, it's different, certainly, you know, the way they tabulate than it used to be, and a lot of people debating that, and I get it. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, you can't deny it. And as you said, it was a 5-year wait, so it was an exciting moment. You know,
we've never had a wait that long.
No, that's never. True.
Between brand new Paul McCartney releases. And sometimes it doesn't seem that long because you have all the remastered box sets coming out. You might have something slipping in like, you know, Kisses on the Bottom or a classical release. So when you have all those different things coming, being released at the same time, it may not seem like there's that long a wait, but between new and Egypt Station, it's 5 years. That's a long time for Paul.
No kidding. And, you know, and I think it, of course, got overall great reviews. And you know, I hope I won't have virtual tomatoes thrown at me, you know, as I said during this. But I liked it better than New. I connected with Egypt Station a bit more than I did New. So, you know, so I don't know. I know not everybody feels that way. So, but it was really a strong album. So we have Tom back. Oh, great. Gotta love technology.
Rob Gertson is a big fan of that album, as we just saw.
So. Exactly. So, all right, Tom, since you're back, what is your one of your favorite releases that came out in 2018?
Well, you know, I guess the popular thing would say, you know, the Red Rose Speedway or Wildlife, but I tell you. Egypt Station, after a 5-year wait, I think we were all excited about a new release from Paul, and finally got it. Not only did we get it, but we got a really, really good album that's going to stay strong for years to come. And I'm just looking forward to continuing to listen to this album. And I think that was, probably my favorite release of the year. Mm-hmm.
It was. It was really exciting. It was, as we were saying, that it's, you know, it was such a wait, and it didn't really disappoint. And Tom Beadlehead wants to know if you're stealing cars.
If you're what?
Beadlehead said he wants to know if you're stealing cars.
Yeah. I'm trying. The funny thing is, I'm trying to find a safe spot to where, because, you know, where I'm at is pretty much right next to a street.
Yeah,
and you can hear all the cars, and it seems like everywhere I'm going, the screen is freezing up, and you know the connection is lost. So I apologize if you hear a bunch of cars driving by.
If I can add,
that June, sure. July of this past year, I thought were great highlights for McCartney and this moment, you know, Egypt Station momentum, if you want, What an incredible time, the secret gigs, the carpool karaoke, obviously, and the Cavern Club and the Liverpool Institute and the Abbey Road, all those secret gigs were really cool and just added to the momentum of McCartney this year. And what a great time to be a fan.
Yep, For sure. And hold on to that thought, because we're going to get to that in a second of favorite moments that we had. So hang on to that thought, because we'll be expanding on that in a second. For me, I mean, of course, all of what you just said, all of you, I completely agree. I also thought, you know, the Imagine box set was so well done, except for, what were they called, kangaroo pouches? Is that called?
I think if you watch the wildlife and the Red Rose Speedway unboxing video, they call them wallets.
Oh, wallets. Okay.
Now, so, I mean, I like kangaroo pouch, but wallet, you know, yeah.
Sure. All righty. Well, it's like, whatever. I didn't like that. I didn't, you know, it's hard to get the CD in and out, but very minor quibble. Otherwise, I thought it was very well done. It was a fascinating deep dive into that album and how it was made. And that book, the book that accompanied the box set was great, but the separate book, to me, that was a knockout for me. I loved that book. I've never seen such a detailed look at an album before in my life. I mean, you know, the Titner's Park floor plans, I mean, come on, they thought of everything, but it was beautifully done. You know, I just really have to give, you know, I mean, obviously Yoko was a consultant on the project for various, you know, for obvious reasons, but I just think they did a superb job of saluting that album. And so in addition to all the different, releases, you just said, I have to add that. I just thought that was incredibly well done. So while talking about box sets, so let's get to, before we get to the moments, Dr. Ken, we've been talking a little bit about the whole issue of Paul releasing those two box sets, you know, so close to all the other box sets that came out. There's been a lot of debate about how fair is that to fans and you know, and obviously the expense. So why don't you, you know, we've talked a little bit about off camera, but why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, what is your view on that?
Well, first of all, I want to say, and I think that my colleagues agree, that I like most of the content. I don't have many, if any, issues with the quality of the material we've been receiving.
Right.
I've, like you, I've wanted it for many, many years, and I'm thrilled to have it. 1 second, talk amongst yourselves.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Jimmy.
Happy holidays.
Continued.
Hope you got the Sudoku.
Yep. And so.
All right, I'm back.
All righty.
That was the end of the final there.
Oh, I heard Sudoku. Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have extra credit Sudoku questions.
Nice.
So, you know, that they don't really need, but it's the second half of the Beatles' career together. So, you know.
Cool.
I should ask you guys some questions and see how you do.
Put us on the spot.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the time.
Anyway, back to the question, though. I do think there's an ethical issue of releasing so much very expensive content in such a short period of time and putting fans in that position. You know, many of us are fortunate and we can afford these kind of iterative experiences, but others are not. And I think it puts them in a tough place. This is probably worth exploring at a Beatles Fest in the future, rather the Festival Beatles fans in the future, to talk about these kinds of issues, because it really has been coming hot and heavy, you know, even counting the regular releases, or as you noted, Kit, other book releases. There has been a lot of material in a very short time. And I'm worried about Tom right now. It's like an Ocean's 11 thing going on.
I know.
Much of it's premium content, which means it's very expensive. I was talking to some folks about the latest release just last week, who wanted that vaunted $400 box set and weren't able to get a copy. You know, so there are two ends of the spectrum, right? There's the issue of the expense of it all, but then there's the kind of limited edition nature. So I do think it begs a kind of ethical question. And some of these releases do confound the senses a little bit. I love having these high quality versions of Imagine and the outtakes and the beautiful photos and the blueprints and floor plans of Tittenhurst Park. You know, I'm right there with you, Kit. But having said that, you know, it's all coming out very quickly without, in several cases, any kind of milestone release. You know, obviously the White Album had milestone written all over it. You know, the Wildlife Red Rose Speedway, which moments ago I told you I loved, you know, kind of confounds the senses in that way. So, and Imagine certainly, you know, is not falling in a milestone year. So I do think that there's an issue worth considering here, and I'd love to hear your comments. It has been hot and heavy. I wonder how many we'll have before we get to the new year. He says in jest.
Well, I mean, the way this year is gone, you just don't know. And another thing to bring up, and I apologize, whoever made this comment, I can't find it right now. It was all the way down. So I'm just going to paraphrase it, and whoever left it, thank you very much, which is about the $400 edition. You know, who they said it's great. You know, but it's, you know, and it did sell out on his site, but it's $400. And, you know, I admit I did not get that version. I got the two box sets, but you know, that's a lot. And, you know, I mean, he does give you a lot for your money. I will say that, but, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, people are saying I'm having to pick and choose here. What I can afford, and so it's, you know, it's very expensive to be a fan right now. And
well, not only that, there's people out there that are fans of Dylan and Bowie, and then, you know, they're putting, you know, there's a lot of artists putting out you know, other sets as well. So yeah, it's definitely that pick and choose. But you know, going back to that box set, I mean, it was all laid out there for everybody. You knew that it was going to be a limited edition. You knew, unfortunately, yeah, the price was high. And, I mean, it did sell out. But, you know, I would imagine you can expect to have another box like this next year, only 78 to 80 probably, you know, with hopefully a Back to the Egg and London Town set. So, I mean, I think people will, you know, will have something to expect now. You know, I think this is kind of like uncharted territory for McCartney to see if something like this would move. And I saw a lot of comments on the Steve Hoppin forum from people saying, oh my God, I can't even stand these two albums, but yet I'm going to be buying three or four configurations of them, you know.
Well, that's true. Ken M., what do you think?
I agree partly with what you guys have said. I don't believe, as Ken W. said, that you have to have significant anniversaries to tie in with everything. I'm not a big anniversary guy. I mean, to me, what matters is the music, not necessarily when it came out.
Does Mrs. And, Michaels know this?
Yes. She agrees with me.
Oh, good. All right.
There's way too much of an emphasis, I feel, on the anniversaries of things. You could have put out archival releases anytime in the past on the Beatles, anytime on the solo Beatles. It doesn't have to connect with a date. It's nice to take a look and to show respect for the anniversary, but it doesn't have to be on anniversaries. And I also don't find fault with Paul releasing these two box sets at the end of the year. But I do find fault. I don't like the idea of a super deluxe edition, limited edition, only available on his website. You don't know, I think only 3,000 copies were made. You don't know if there are going to be any more made after that. So once that sells out, you don't know whether or not you should buy them individually, the individual box sets. And then what happens if the super deluxe comes out again? Then you'll feel like you know, what do you have to do? Buy it a second time? The lack of communication, not knowing how this is going to turn out in the end, that bothers me. We know that ever since 2010, Paul has put out box sets of his solo catalog since Ben on the Run. I think every single year he's released one or two titles. So something had to come out this year. And he already released Egypt Station. Maybe those two albums weren't ready earlier in the year. But you know there's going to be another release next year, probably London Town and Back to the Egg, as we've heard. It just so happens that he released his first album in 5 years in September. Imagine came out in October. It's not like we've been flooded with so much Lennon releases. And we've never had an archival box set like this, except for like the Lennon anthology, maybe. But as far as a specific album, devoted to any of Lennon's albums something this extensive before. We had Stripped Down with Double Fantasy, but nothing like this. And then you had the White Album. And it's only last year since we started doing this on the Beatles group stuff with Sgt. Pepper. So what happens next year? We know, well, we're pretty sure we're going to have Abbey Road in September as a box set. We'll probably get London Town and Back to the Egg next year. And I don't think it's going to be the first half of the year. It's probably going to be towards the end. So you're going to have that. You don't know if Yoko is going to continue with any more archival releases, although for years I've been hearing now about the one-to-one concerts coming out. And they could do so much with that. So, you know, usually when Yoko does anything on John, it's around the time of his birthday. So it seems like a lot will fall in the last quarter of the year. That's just the way that it is.
And the possible Ringo album as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
But then you never know, although I hope that it happens. This is part of my wish list, actually. But we've never had anything on George and Ringo as far as an extensive box set on one title of their solo albums. Not even All Things Must Pass, really. I can't see them doing anything extensive on Ringo stuff, maybe the Ringo album, as much as I'd love to see other titles being given special treatment. But we may have something like this similar from year to year, especially if the Beatles group stuff keeps coming out like this and McCartney continues to put out his archival box sets. You'll get those two, and then you don't know as far as the other solo Beatles stuff if that'll come out. So it just so happens it falls out the last 4 months of the year, all these releases. I don't blame Paul about the Wildlife Red Rose Speedway box sets coming out, but I don't like the whole idea of the super deluxe. I love putting the live CD on there, but that should probably be available separately by itself, really.
Yeah.
To make things easier for the fans who want to buy Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway now individually, since the Super Deluxe has, for the moment, sold out.
That's right. Yep. Well, it looks like certainly now, and it looks like it's going to continue the next into the next year. There's a lot of stuff that may be coming out, so get those credit cards out. I think we're going
I think there's one other aspect of this, too. If we're looking at the larger sort of ethics of it, we've come to think of the Beatles as creators of deluxe content, right?
Right.
They are top of the class. They have built themselves into this kind of blue chip brand, deservedly so. And some of what we're experiencing right now, to me, is challenging that a little bit. I mean, I would argue that maybe there's a bit of taking advantage of the baby boomers, for one thing, that may be occurring while that marketplace is still with us. That may be part of this. I think we have to look at that. But I do agree with Ken, you know, some of this timing might have been made a little bit more palatable if we'd had a sense of it, as opposed to this kind of, it was almost like a dump.
Yeah, I agree.
I think an obvious title would be in just the next few years, All Things Must Pass will very likely get that treatment. And it makes all the sense in the world. And that would be, of course, an amazing set for which to have access. So it's that kind of, I like that point that Ken made about non-communication. I think we might have benefited from something that felt a little bit more orchestrated. And you know, they've been creating and been purveyors of this brand now for a long time. In 87, the careful release of the CDs, you know, monthly, building our appetites across that wonderful year. This was sort of the opposite of that in some ways. So the communication's a very fair point.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, because it just seemed to just come out of nowhere that, oh, by the way, these two sets are coming out, and just, you know, I was really taken aback, and I just thought, wow, with all these other things we've had, and yeah, I think if the communication had been better, maybe if there would have been a different reaction. That's really true. Well, people go ahead. I'm sorry, Jeff.
No, I mean, but it's been the past couple of years. I mean, it's kind of the norm now is we're only getting a month or two notice for these releases. I mean,
but wouldn't you say though, Tom, it's really just you know, to echo what Ken said earlier, it's almost been just this year. You know, we knew Sergeant Pepper, that would have been telegraphed a long way out. Right. It seemed like this year when we sort of had that lack of, you know, choreography behind the whole business.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, the only thing I was really surprised about was the Imagine set. I was expecting everything else. Mm-hmm. Obviously not so close together, mm-hmm. but obviously that would have been nice if it was spread out a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, I was expecting this stuff, to be honest with you, except besides Imagine. And I'll be expecting more stuff next year. I think this is going to start being the norm. I think we're going to start seeing more of these sets in the future. And I think this is the time now. Lesson learned this year. Let's now expect this stuff to start coming out as more frequently.
I agree. And like I said, with George and Ringo's solo catalog, we haven't seen any extensive box sets. What if they actually went that route? We haven't heard anything to indicate that. I know that Ringo said something a few years ago on Chris Carter's show, I think, that he was considering an Apple Years box set, kind of like what George Harrison did. But nothing as far as each individual title being given special treatment like that. But who knows what could happen. I would love to see it happen in particular with George's catalog and the rest of John's catalog. You know, Mind Games, a deluxe box set. Walls and Bridges, a deluxe box set. That would be wonderful.
Plastic Ono Band.
Yes. Yep. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and this is a perfect segue into, since we're heading toward the end here, the wish list, and there's already some suggestions that people are submitting here, and I have to say, Mean Mr. Mayo and Richard, I completely agree with all of you. This was my number one, is saying the George Harrison estate. Let's get some more material out there. I mean, let's take a cue from the Imagine album, the archive releases. Richard says, I'd love to hear a stripped down version of Harrison's Cloud Nine. I mean, I'd love a Cloud Nine set. I would love All Things Must Pass, which one of you mentioned earlier. Would love to see that. I'd love 33 and a third George Harrison. I mean, there's got to be some material out there. I mean, a lot of material out there that I would love, you know, I'd love to hear. And you know, some remastering of that, of all those things would be great, too. You know, some of them could use that. So that is number one on my wish list. I would really like to see the Harrison Estate step up and give us, you know, some bits more things. Okay, someone wrote here, Andy, the Harrison Estate doesn't owe us anything. Well, yeah, but I still...
It's a wish list,
everybody. And by the way, you can make this as crazy as you want. You know, you can talk about, you know, stuff that you know, will it ever come out? Who knows? But it's a wish list. So so that's mine. So Ken, Dr. Ken, what's your on top of your wish list for 2019?
Well, I, you know, mine's going to be pretty dull in a way. I really want to hear Abbey Road get the treatment that we know it can get after our experiences. I, in fact, I've had the pleasure of teaching the album this semester, and I can just imagine all of the mysteries we could unlock about Verispeed. In some unusual places on several of the tracks. It could just be a lot of magic. So I'm hoping very much for that. But I got to agree with our commentator there, Stephen. I would love to have London Town and Back to the Egg for the same just sort of joyful, nostalgic reasons that I loved Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway. That would make me very, very happy. To hear those kinds of releases. But 1969, and I do like milestones and anniversaries, so I, full disclosure, Ken. but 1969 has so many mysteries to unlock, both for, you know, the Beatles and the coming solo era. So there's a lot I would like to hear come out next year. All of my wishes are audio ones. I really long to hear how they made that transition from 1969 to 70. So I'm hoping for some unexpected surprises.
All right.
And
too.
I would like to see Paul and Ringo play a lot more together. Although I know that if that were to happen, the tickets would become probably just much more expensive and put us in a pretty tough place.
Time to mortgage the house.
That's yep. right. Well, I have two mortgages, so that's fine.
All right. Then you're covered. You're covered. Oh, that's
more expensive than the box sets.
That's right. That's right. So, Tom, what's on your wish list for 2019?
Well, I got a couple things. One, I would love to see Ringo, George, and John. I would love to see those camps release a McCartney Years style DVD set. I think they all have enough promotional footage and live stuff, interviews that they could all throw on their sets. I would love the McCartney color vinyl to continue. It's been going on the last couple years. I would love to see maybe a Memory Almost Full or Driving Rain color vinyl, maybe even Electric Arguments to be released. I would love a upgrade on the Concert for Bangladesh to Blu-ray. That would be a wonderful welcome. Obviously, the one-to-one, I mean, I've listened to Ken, Steve, and Al Kozin and Sussman talk about that year after year on Things We Said Today. That would be great, like the Imagine set. Imagine the book you would get for the one-to-one show. That would be, I think, a wonderful book as well. And then lastly, I've been hearing from the McCartney camp, but the brother McCartney, that we're going to get a McGeer re-release, the Lost Wings album, if you will. So that came out in 74, I believe. So that would be pretty cool to get that as well. So those are a few things that I would love to see in 2019.
Very. Tom, are you in the back of a police car?
I'm now handcuffed. Yes.
Oh man. Well, as I said, we like to broadcast in all different places on this show. Yes. You know, we're gonna, you know, maybe next year that'll be one of the things we'll start is, you know, yeah, where's Tom? Where's Ken? You know.
Yeah. I will never be in the same place twice now.
I know. I know you always, you know, keep us on our toes. That's for sure. All right, Ken. All right, Ken, what are your choices for your wish list for 2019?
There's so many of them. I'll try to keep it brief. But the one thing more than anything else that I want is any new release from George. It could be Early Takes Volume 2. It could be reissuing his solo catalog with bonus tracks. I know that in the last few years, he's reissued his albums with a bonus song or two at the most on his albums. But I'm talking about, giving it an archival treatment, like we said before, and All Things Must Pass, a Living in the Material World, you know, something like that, where it can be given the same kind of treatment that Imagine did or McCartney's albums have done. As far as Ringo, this is really interesting because we're approaching the 30th anniversary of the All-Star Band. I wish a lot of stuff could be done. Here I am saying I don't care about anniversaries, but anyway,
you're busted.
All right. But it would be a golden opportunity to put out a DVD, which would have different lineups through the years. You could have a coffee table size book with pictures of all the musicians that he's had from the last 30 years. So many great players have been in those bands. Many of them have now passed away. What a great way to really pay tribute to all these different lineups that he's had through the years. Get a nice size book like that, just like the Imagine book was, which was definitely a highlight of the year for me, Kit, that Imagine book.
Yes.
Let's see. Also, maybe a CD compilation of the different All-Star bands, too. Kind of like there was one called So Far, which combined a lot of the different lineups, the earlier lineups from when that came out. Another Lennon archival box, like One-on-One. I mentioned Mind Games, Walls and Bridges. We've been hearing for a long time about the animated film that Paul's been working on, High in the Clouds.
Oh yeah.
I hope that gets finished, you know, because we've been hearing about it for a long time. We will have the new book though. Hey, Grand Dude.
That's right.
So that's something to look forward to for next year. And I do believe, you know, we will get Abbey Road and London Town and Back to the Egg. Be really nice to have concert footage from 79, from, you know, any of the UK shows. Maybe
for
even combined. Maybe even, you know, the concert for the people of Kampuchea has been out of print for a long time. Maybe just the audio for that you can tack on to the Back to the Egg box set. Maybe something like that. All the Rockestra footage that was done in the studio would be nice. Yeah. Something like that. The Back to the Egg TV special, just like you had James Paul McCartney. You have the Back to the Egg TV special with all the videos for the different songs. That would be nice. I think that would be it for me. I mean, yes, I want the new Ringo album.
Yes.
I'm always excited, like I said, for a new Ringo album. There's no guarantee that we'll have one. Could take them a couple of years between albums. But certainly, I'd love to focus on the All-Star Band and putting out some special products on that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there hasn't been a lot. I mean, I'd love a live DVD of even just this current tour. I mean, but absolutely a retrospective of, because there have been so many different lineups. You know, that'd be really interesting to see. So that was on my list as well. I mean, most of what you all said was on my list. You know, there are just so many. You know, it just shows you, and thank you all for your comments here. I'm sorry we couldn't get to them all, but it just shows you how much there is out there, and how much more that Mark P just said to Ken, that's all you want. Our needs are modest.
You know, when you look all at right. When you look at the running commentary, though, it's interesting to see how many people have interest in that late Wings period, and there's a lot of curiosity about it, and there is a lot of interesting footage that, as Ken said, it would sure be wonderful to have.
Absolutely, and I would love to see a reissue of the one-to-one concert too. I mean, like, you know, restored and remastered. That was on my list too. So that's another one I'd like to see. So wow, I mean, there is a lot that we'd like to see in 2019, and I don't know if we're going to see all of this, but hopefully we'll see at least some of it. But we're getting to the end of the show. I can't believe it went by this quickly. So before we say our final goodbyes for 2018, let's go around and see what exciting things we're all working on. So Tom, how about we start with you? What's going on with Two Legs?
Well, you know, obviously, besides working in Vegas, you know, David and I are kind of trying to, you know, take December off a little bit here. We will do a year-end show maybe this weekend. We'll see. But yeah, for the most part, we are taking December off. As always, you can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at our Facebook page, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. Stop by, like the page, say hi. Let's talk McCartney and all that good stuff. And yeah, looking forward to listening to the two box sets more when I get home. So that's what I'll be up to.
All right, Joe, they'll keep you out of trouble during the holiday season. So I think we're all going to be holed up listening to these box sets. So Dr. Ken, now you, of course, you're coming off that incredible conference. So I know you're probably taking a little break there, but what else are you working on? You've been on a lot of shows and everything.
I'm finishing up a book about Abbey Road, the studio and the album, release next year, should be done in about a month with that. I'm very excited about it. Have some interesting new angles and perspectives, particularly on the music, so very excited to share that with folks, and just ring in this new year. Very excited about 2019.
Very nice. Very nice. And I have Ken's website is up here, kennethwomack.com. And by the way, if you don't have all your Christmas presents bought yet and you still have gifts to get for your Beatles buddies, go check out Sound Pictures.
Thank you, Queen.
It's an incredible book. If you don't have it already, what the heck are you waiting for? So, okay, Ken M., you always have a lot of stuff going on, so yeah. So lay it on us.
Well, you reminded me, first of all, we have to do a show with Ken about the George Martin book.
Yes, we do.
I'd love to talk about all the information that he offers in the new one, Sound Pictures. Mm-hmm. First of all, the other podcast show that I do, Things We Said Today, we just recorded a show right before this one, doing a little marathon here, and Bruce Spicer was our guest, more White Album talk, and he talks about his brand new book called The Beatles White Album and the Launch of Apple, so that'll be coming out Wednesday or Thursday. It'll be posted, Things We Said Today, the new episode for that. I also do... my show, Every Little Thing, there's actually two versions of it. One is a syndicated show. The other is a live show. The live show, which I never talk about here, is actually on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on WNHU, which you can stream, WNHU.org. It's a one-hour show, Beatles and solo Beatles music, but this Wednesday it's a Christmas show, 6 days before Christmas. Better to do that than one day after Christmas. And so if you want to catch... But if you want to catch my show, it's on every Wednesday night, a live broadcast of that. I play anything you want to hear that's been released, Beatles, group, solo, side projects, you name it, all packed into that 1 hour, WNHU.org, Wednesday nights, Eastern Standard Time. You could also listen to some of my syndicated shows on the Global Texan Chronicles website. I know it's a lot to remember, globaltexanchronicles.com. You're going to find a show that I just did with Ken Mansfield talking about his new book called The Roof, The Beatles' Final Concert, which you can win on my website, by the way. And I also did a show about a year ago, which has been reposted on the internet with a musician named John Montagna, who lives in New York City, and he's worked with the Alan Parsons Project. Does a lot of work in the New York City area. Does a lot of gigs. And we did a whole conversation about George Harrison and which is a better album, All Things Must Pass or Cloud Nine. And we take different positions on it. We do that in the syndicated show. You can actually listen whatever you want to. You can stream the shows at globaltexanchronicles.com. And then there's my website, kenmichaelsradio.com. Beatles trivia every single week. You can win one of 9 prizes. Just wanted to bring this one up because I haven't offered this for a while. This is a book that came out in 2013, Days That I'll Remember, Spending Time with John Lennon and Yoko Ono, from Jonathan Cott, who's a contributing editor for Rolling Stone magazine. He became friends with John and Yoko in 1968, maintained a friendship with them through John's death, still apparently is close to Yoko. These are all interviews that he did with John and Yoko, and conversations that he remembered with them. And you can win that book on my website, as well as Kit's book, Songs We Were Singing, all kinds of great prizes. Egypt Station, 2-CD version of Imagine, a lot of great stuff on the Beatles trivia and games page at kenmichaelsradio.com.
One day I'll have a book for you, Ken, I promise.
Okay. You better. Oh man! And as for me, you'll have to post bail first. Somebody said earlier that they want to start a petition to get you released from police custody. Oh, that's awesome! All right,
thank you.
We're here for you, Tom. And so for me, I am actually if you just can't get enough of hearing my voice. you can hear me. Yeah, there you go. You can hear me again tonight at 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central. My Bottomless Soul show is airing tonight, and it's at the address right there, www.kingfisherradio.com/atomic. It is a soulful holiday special, and these are holiday songs that you may not have heard as often. I'm talking The Drifters, Otis Redding, Lou Rawls, The Emotions. So sit back, pour yourself an eggnog, hot chocolate, whatever you're in the mood for, have your favorite holiday drink, and listen to these great soul holiday favorites. So I think you're really going to get a kick out of it. I'm also going to be doing a Facebook Live chat Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, on my personal Facebook page. It'll be 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central. It's going to be my last of the year. I'm squeezing this in before the holidays. So that'll be just wrapping up and letting you know what I'm working on. Deep Beatles is coming back this week. Deep Soul should be up very soon. So lots and lots going on. So
before that is why you're the queen. Oh,
that's right. All hail the queen. Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. And so
and the queen of bottomless soul too.
Yeah, exactly. And the queen of bottomless soul. That's right. That's right. Before we go, just to let you know, you can, of course, email us at talkmoresolotalk@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at talkmoretalk1, number one. We, of course, welcome all of your feedback through those channels. You can post comments. We really love hearing your feedback. And we want to thank you all on behalf of everybody here. Thank you for watching us these past few months as we've been developing this show. You know, we really can't do it without you guys. And your comments and your support have been fantastic. We look forward to coming back with even better shows next year. We're going to kick around some ideas and we'll have some great new content for you. We'll be back. I think it's January 7th. Is that? Yep. January 7th, 9 p.m. Eastern. We're skipping the next episode because it's New Year's Eve, and you know, will everybody be sober here or at home, or you know, we don't know. So we decided let's take that week off. And so we'll be back January 7th with a brand new episode. I'm assuming it's going to be getting into Red Rose Speedway and wildlife. I think that's a safe bet. So I think that's everything. So from all of us, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, all the best for 2019. And we will see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Talk.